Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe.
So a couple of weeks ago, I left church. I went to my car, and I got in the car, and I caught a glimpse of myself in the rearview mirror, and there was a booger hanging out my nose. I said, oh my goodness. I did say that. I said, oh my goodness, I wonder how long has this been here? And why did nobody tell me I have a booger in my nose? And then I said, and that's just like church people. I did say it. I said it. I was mad. Have me walking around, this booger hanging out my nose through church, praying for people, and nobody said nothing to me. Right? And so I don't know if that's just church culture or that's the culture that we live in, where if something is uncomfortable or embarrassing or a little bit difficult to share, we rather have people walking around in ignorant bliss than to tell them, who said not me? Dominic, yeah, that's true. Minister Dominic. Instead of telling them the truth. You know, and that's not just with if I have a booger in my nose or food in my teeth or my zip is down. It translates to people in the world that we see. We see them, they are hurting. They are addicted. They are feeling rejection. And because addressing it may be difficult, we decide that we don't do it, right? But we have the good news. We have the good news that we should be sharing with our neighbors, because when is something more serious than a booger in your nose? And it is a matter of life and death. And if we look throughout scripture, we will see multiple times where Jesus tells people to go and tell. Go tell them about me. Go share the good news. In John chapter 20, Mary Magdalene encounters the resurrected Jesus. She goes to the grave. The tomb is empty. She's like, oh, they stole his body. The gardener shows up, or so she thought. And then she realizes that it's Jesus. And Jesus says, go and tell my brothers. Go and tell them. And she went and she said, guess what? Jesus is not dead. I saw him. He's alive. And he says he's going to be with his Father. So she was the first person to go and share the good news, because Jesus said, go and tell them. In Luke chapter 8, verses 26 to 39, I encourage you to read that in your spare time. Jesus delivers a man who was possessed by a legion of demons. And let me tell you how serious this was. A legion in the Roman army was army of soldiers between 1,000 and 6,000 men. And the demons that was in the man, when Jesus said, who are you? And they said, we are legion. And Jesus delivered him, and he wanted to be a disciple. He wanted to follow Jesus. And Jesus said, no, go home and tell them what God has done for you. Don't keep it to yourself. Go and tell them. When Jesus encountered, in John 4:29, Jesus encountered the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well, and he has this conversation with her. Apostle showed the clip the other day, and Jesus can tell her all of these things about herself. She couldn't contain it. She didn't keep it to herself. She immediately began to go out and say, come see a man who has transformed my life. In Acts chapter 1, just before Jesus ascends to heaven to go and be with the Father, he tells his disciples that they will be his witnesses. He didn't say, you might be my witnesses. You could be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. And if we go to the Old Testament, in Psalm 71, thank you, Tiffany. I'm still in my introduction, though. In Psalm 71, verses 15 and 16, David wrote, "I will tell everyone of your righteousness. All day long, I will proclaim your saving power. Though I am not skilled with words, I will praise your mighty deeds, O sovereign Lord. I will tell everyone how just you are. I will tell everyone how you saw something in me when nobody else saw something in me. And you decided to appoint me as king when they didn't even invite me to the party. I will tell them how you used me at 17 years old to slay a giant. I will tell them how you protected me when I was running for my life. I will tell them how you forgave me when I committed adultery and murder. I will tell them about how you redeemed me and restored me when my own son betrayed me. I'll tell them." And he told us when he wrote all of these psalms, he said, "I'll tell them that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I will tell them the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I will tell them 1,000 will fall at my left and 10,000 at my right, but no harm will come nigh to me. I will tell them to make a joyful noise unto the Lord." I'll tell them. And because he decided to tell us, we have those words written down that we could go to. And it can encourage us, and it could boost us, because if he did it for David, he'd do it for us. He didn't keep it to himself. He said, "I'm going to tell them about the righteousness of God." And I don't know if David knew. I don't know if the Samaritan woman knew this. I don't know if the man with the demons knew this. But when we decide to share about how God saved us or restored us or redeemed us or provided for us, of course, it's a benefit to the people who hear because it's encouragement. But there's also a benefit for us as we share, because in Revelations 12:11, it says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So when we talk about what Jesus has done, it puts the enemy on notice. I don't know about y'all, but God don't play about me, okay? So it's telling the enemy, God don't play about me. And we see this in the Old Testament with the children of Israel as God delivers them from Egyptian captivity. And God delivered them, and when they're entering into the promised land, which was occupied by other countries, they said, those people from those other countries, when they saw the children of Israel coming, they said, "We heard about their God. We heard how he turned water into blood, how he afflicted those Egyptians with boils, and he killed the firstborn, and then he drowned them in the Red Sea. We're not going to mess with them. We're just going to stand on the side." So when we share and we tell about what God has done, yes, there's a benefit for those who hear, but it's a benefit for us as well, because it puts the enemy on notice. So we must remind ourselves to testify, to witness, to tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ. And if we call ourselves Christians, and Christian means Christ-like or a little Christ, then we have to look at Jesus, right? We have to look at him when he was here on earth. And if we look at him, we'll see that he had an extraordinary amount of love and compassion for people, but especially people who went unnoticed. And he saw in those people what nobody else saw. We can look at Zacchaeus. So there was a song we sang in Sunday school, "I will not torture you," by singing it, "but no, ma'am." So Zacchaeus was short in stature, and he had heard stories about a man who was healing blind eyes and deaf ears and raising people from the grave, and this man came to town, and he said, "I need to see him." But Zacchaeus was short, and he couldn't see, so he climbed in a tree so that he could get a glimpse of Jesus, and when Jesus walked by the tree, he looked up and he said, "Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. I'm going to have dinner with you today." And the people said, "Lion, stealing, cheating, no good Zacchaeus? You're going to have dinner with him? Surely you cannot be a man of God. But people saw Zacchaeus' sin. Jesus saw his need to be saved from his sin. And so that's what we need to see, right? So when we see our neighbor, the panhandler on the street, do we see their situation or do we see their need to be delivered from their situation? I shared this with my hope group. I worked on a project in Overtown, across from the Overtown, the Lyric Theater in Overtown. And this is a shady neighborhood. And I saw some people who were like that man with the legion of demons. Totally and completely their minds are gone. Do we have compassion enough like Jesus to stop and to pray with them and deliver them? So we need to see the way Jesus saw, because the easiest thing to do is to judge people. I'm like Paul, chiefest of sinners. Easiest thing to do is to judge people. The hardest thing to do is to tell them about Jesus. So we're going to sit and judge them. Look at her. She knows she's not supposed to be wearing that at church. But are you going to share truth with her or him? And I believe that God is telling us that we should do the hard things. It was easy for the priests and the Levite to walk to the other side of the road. A man is beaten, robbed and beaten and left for dead. And the priest, that's a preacher, that's a pastor. And the Levite, someone God has set aside, they walk on the other side so that they don't have to deal with something that's hard and that is inconvenient. But the Samaritan came and did the hard thing. He stopped. He picked him up, bandaged his wounds, and put him up in a hotel and gave him money. That wasn't easy. It wasn't convenient. It was hard. And it was none of his business, because that's what I find myself saying. That is none of my business. But if we all live here on planet Earth together, everybody is your neighbor. Everybody is your neighbor. And we should have as much love and compassion that Jesus had to want to share the good news with our neighbors. And it can be as easy as telling somebody Jesus loves you. Like, we have no idea what sharing with somebody just those few words can do. I was in IHOP yesterday with my aunt who is visiting with me, and it is her birthday today. Yes, I just said that. But we were in IHOP yesterday, and our server, God led me to ask her if there was anything that I can pray with her about. Can I pray with you about anything? And she started to tell me how she can't pay her rent. And it's so hard working in the service industry. But then she said, I believe God is telling me that I need to step out in another direction. And she started to show us her cake decorating skills with pictures in her phone. I believe God is telling me that I need to do this, but I don't know how. Well, if God is telling you something, he's going to show you the how. But I believe that God placed us there at that exact moment. And I didn't know about her cake decorating. I don't know she can't pay her rent. I don't know any of that. I just know what God told me. But I believe that for her, it was confirmation that, hey, I need to do this thing. I need extra income. I need more money. This is not doing it. And I feel like God has told me this. And so these ladies showed up to confirm this for me. And so we need to be bolder and more courageous to share the good news that we have. Because when we have good news for me, I bought something on sale at Ross. I want to tell you about it. I got that at Ross. It was $10. We want to share that good news, and it's trivial. But when it's something as significant as transforming somebody's life, we're timid about it. So I want us to be like Jesus and to notice the people who go unnoticed and not look at the outward appearance. In 1 Samuel 16:7, God told Samuel that man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And so to look at the heart of people, see the need, and meet the need. Even when Jesus was on the cross, beaten until his organs were exposed, crown of thorns on his head, about to say it is finished, he was still meeting needs. He looked at his mother and said, you know what? I'm not going to be here anymore. And turned to John and said, take care of her. He still was meeting needs even on the cross. Even with the very selection of his disciples, we see him seeing something in them that people didn't see. Because some people saw some of them as uneducated fishermen. But he saw them as men who would change the world. And he called them out. He said, come, let me make you fishers of men. Take up your cross and follow me. He saw something in them. Can we see something in people that nobody else sees and call them out? Call them out. The word church in Greek is ekklesia, E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A. And it is a compound word of two Greek words. Ek means out of, and kaleo, to call. So the very word church means to call out. We're calling people out, just like Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2:9, that we're calling people out of darkness and into the marvelous light. Like, we shouldn't want to leave people in darkness. So we need to follow the example of Jesus, to see in people what nobody else sees and to call that out of them. I tell the story of, I had a teacher in sixth grade. His name was Mr. Isaacs. He was from Guyana. And when I was in high school, he became the vice principal of the school. And we were in English class and we had to write a paper about, I don't remember what. We had to write a paper, but he was there in the classroom. You know, when they come around and they observe the teacher, and he was in the class when I had to give a little speech to my peers. I remember what it was about. It was about abstinence, and I was in the ninth grade. So it was cool when it's like talking to my class of 15 people. He said, oh, you need to share this at chapel. I said, sir, you are grossly mistaken, and I am not about to do that. And so I said, no, thank you. The next day he said, you ready for chapel on Tuesday, sir? I told you no. Next day, you ready for chapel on Tuesday? Nope. Next day, Friday, every day, are you ready? Tuesday comes. I said, I guess I should get ready. And it was the first time I spoke in front of a crowd, but he called something out of me. He saw something in me that nobody else had seen. Everybody else saw the girl who talked too much in class. But he saw a speaker in me. So can we see in people and call those things out of them the way that Jesus did? So as we close, I'll ask for you to bow your head as I pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for sharing your son with us, giving him to us as a gift because of your extravagant love, that we are not bound by sin and we are free, because whom the son sets free is free indeed. I pray that you give each of us the boldness, the love, and the compassion to share our individual stories about how Jesus transformed our lives. I come against any fear or timidity because you've not given us a spirit of fear, but you've given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And so we thank you, Lord God, that you're releasing us in this season to tell about your love, to share about what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.